Hello, welcome to podcast number two of 'Cause I'm Humanity. And I think today I'd like to talk about something which is quite personal. And it's a personal choice that I've made quite recently. And you may be able to detect what that choice is. I have, from this point, decided to speak with a Scouse accent. And a Scouse accent is an accent coming from Liverpool and the Greater Merseyside area. I like to call it Greater Scouseland. So my last podcast, I mentioned that I was born in a place called Birkenhead, also known as Birkenhead, depends on who's pronouncing it. And a way of me describing what Birkenhead is like is, imagine Manhattan, the city, theatres, tourist areas, and imagine New Jersey across the water. And that's basically how I explain it. You're basically still in Liverpool, but there's just a bit of water separating you. So there we go. The reason I decided to go with the Scouse accents again, it's actually been a lot of things been tugging me this year. You know, when you meet certain people and they all leave a little something in you, they'll say a little something to you, and it's all building for that special moment where you have to make a decision. And I think one of those points was when I actually went back to Liverpool earlier this year. And there was a friend that I knew from a place called Mellow Mellow. So Mellow Mellow was a cafe in Liverpool, and it attracted this very unique kind of bohemian, art-loving, individual, stuff-loving crowd. And I was still friends with a lot of the people that I met then. I actually met that crowd of people when I was 19 years old. Just turned 19, 2013, I had done a fashion show for Oxfam. And my friend Rachel, who was then called Mimi Amore, she works in Oxfam as a manager. And the year before that, I actually went in and asked if she had any voluntary positions going. And she said, yeah, just fill in this form, bring it back. And I did that and I started working there. And that introduced me to the world of vintage clothes. You know, charity shops were a no-go zone when I was a teenager. Why the hell would you want to go in there? And then all of a sudden it became very fashionable. In like the 2010s, I think, around then. I mean, that's when I started doing volunteering. And it definitely became fashionable for me. Anyway, I arrived at this after party in 2013, after working in Oxfam for a year. And I met all these people, and I was just dancing all night, and I just ran over and started being a DJ, putting on like these reggaeton songs and just going 7, 8 a.m. And, you know, I didn't know any of the people there, but I thought, yeah, they seem boss. They seem great. They know how to party. They're friendly. They're a bit, I don't know, quirky. What's the word? Bit different, bit a little bit something else. I don't know. And I started going to a place called the Casimir, which is called that because it's named after this bohemian Jewish neighborhood, I think, in Warsaw. Anyway, the people who established the club went there one time and they called it the Casimir, and it's Kazimierz in Polish. And I just went there one time in the summer, so this would have been 3 months afterwards. And there was something called La Tomatina. And I'd taken Spanish that year, so obviously I knew about Spanish culture. And there was just this pit of tomatoes, and there's this wrestling match, and there were these presenters. One was like, said that she's like an ex-Eurovision presenter, and then they were saying, oh, look at those tomatoes, I'd love to have it on my asshole. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Anyway, it turns out that girl's called Jenny. Speaks fluent Spanish. She lives in Argentina now. And I was just, my eyes were popping. And I looked over at Mimi, the friend who worked at Oxfam. And I was like, what the hell's going on here? She's like, is this your first Casimir experience? I was like, yes. What? This thing, all this thing that happens. Because other than that, in Liverpool, you had, you know, bars for lads and girls. There were tourists there. And that was it. That was all I thought was around. And that was all I thought it was about. You know, I'd look online and I'd look at fabulous people that I admired in fashions, vintage fashions, and look at videos. Or I just thought that was just a whales away. You know, it doesn't happen in Liverpool, like, not a place like Liverpool. But apparently it did. So, going forward to another march. So this would be March this year, so that's 6 years after that march when I met those people. I was going to Liverpool to celebrate my birthday, and my friend Claudia had invited me down. And on the train, as I was saying, there was a woman who worked at Mello Mello. And I started talking like this when I first saw her. And then as I was talking more about Liverpool-centric things, I just started going into Scouse again. Yeah, because it made complete sense. Why would I talk about something when I know, you know, the actual dialects or whatever we call this, the Scouse, Creole, Patois, what do we call it? yeah, if I'm talking about something Liverpool-centric, I've got to talk in Scouse. And there was a woman down the corridor of the train, on the carriage, I suppose you'd call it, and she looked over at me and she was like, are you from Liverpool? And I was like, yeah, I am. And then she just started telling me this story about, I can't even remember what it was, but what stuck with me was the fact that she gave me a special piece of information because I was speaking her native language and she identified me as a native speaker of that language. And this big dawn and realization happens, you know, when people ask me why I learn all these languages. It's to have that special privilege. You know, I'm blessed to be able to sound native in basically any language that I learn. And I think by doing that, people open up and they are confident speaking to you in a way that they wouldn't feel as comfortable speaking to a foreigner. And that's just human nature, I think, just tribalism. But if you're able to, I don't know, play the game, be the chameleon, then you get the best of multiple worlds, not just both. So I got off the train and I was like, I'm going to speak Scouse. I'm in Liverpool, so of course I should speak Scouse. Because the last time I was in Liverpool, it was in June, and I was really talking like this. And I remember sitting in my friend's shop and there was a woman who was from Liverpool, but she was middle class. And her son was living and working in London. And I noticed, because she did ask me, so where are you from? Where are you from? She asked me in this kind of faux Scouse posh accent, because she knew that she was in the presence of a southerner. Well, so she thought. And then I said, well, and my friend started to explain that, oh, well, Gav, he's from here, but actually he doesn't sound like it, but that's just how it is. And then she was like, oh, okay. And then I felt like a terminable alien wherever I went, because in London, I was having to explain that, actually, I'm from Liverpool, but why do I not sound like I'm from Liverpool? Well, that's because then in Liverpool, I was having to explain, why don't I sound like I'm from Liverpool if I'm not from London? What's going on? And then that happened in June last year. And then here we are in March of this year. And I just thought, you know what? I said to my friend, she said to me straight away, Claudia, hey, the Scouse is back. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. You know what, girl? I just opened the glove drawer and I was like, it didn't go anywhere. I just put it away in the glove drawer. I just popped it in there, put it in my back pocket. But you know what? It's here. You know, I'm bi-fucking-lingual. I'm bilingual in London. Or in Babylon, as I call it. And fluent in Scouse. So I'm bilingual. Thank you very much. You know, if I go to France, to speak French. If I go to Russia, to speak Russian. So if I go to Liverpool, obviously I'm going to speak Scouse. So the whole weekend, I just stayed in Scouse. And, you know, all the old friends are like, oh, yeah, the Scouse is back. Yeah, you know what? I actually want to bring it back. But then I thought, well, I've established myself as Gavino Divino in London. And I have to stay speaking like this. Well, that was a whole, how many months ago? Almost 6 months ago. And now, just got back from a festival, Boomtown. Don't know if any of you was there. But on the last night, on the last day, somebody gave me a tab of something called Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. And that was like, that was the first time I'd ever taken it. And most exactly what you think an afternoon on that is. Yeah, everything. And it got to about 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock, something like that. I don't know. Late and early at the same time. And I sat down on the bench. And I'd been seeing this girl all over the weekend. She was this crazy fucking Scouse girl. And actually, she's as Scouse as I am, because you've got this tribalism thing in Liverpool where the Scousers, people from the mainland, will call people from the Wirral, either plastic Scousers. And the Wirral is, you know, New Jersey. It's this peninsula on the other side of the River Mersey. They will call the plastic Scousers woolly backs. If they're not calling them Plasty Scousers as well. So she comes from, I think, a place called, is it Hilbury? Is it Hilbury? I think that's the place on the Wirral. Anyway, that's West Wirral, not where I'm from. Proper middle class. I'm from Rochferry, for me, lad. I'm from the fucking hood. Rocheferry is what they call it in Rochferry. Rocheferry. And I saw this girl through a friend, and she was just off her nut. Anyway, I saw her when I was on acid, and she just taken acid, and we were both high as kites, but like at the same time, I think we were taking it at the same time, something like that. And I noticed, because the people that I'd taken it with, I'd only met them that morning. It was in a bathroom, yeah, because I was staying in kind of VIP camping, because I was working as this kind of artificial intelligence bot. Yeah, bit of Boomtown information is that Boomtown is this kind of immersive theatre, camping, festival, music thing. It's all mashed into one. Basically, the story is there's this artificial intelligence called Amy. And the corporation that has created her has kind of taken over different spots in Boomtown. And I think Boomtown was originally, you know what it says in the tin, like a Wild West town that has got rich, and then this corporation has come up and turning everything all futuristic and, yeah, you know, playing parodies on Instagram and this kind of virtual fame and virtual reality that we're all basically forced to live in now. And oh God, where was I going now? That's the one. So this girl from West Wirral, Scouse anything, I noticed myself switching. Because the people I met in the queue to brush my teeth, I actually turned to a woman and I said to her, hi, can I borrow your toothpaste, please? Whilst I was jamming away to coffee on my phone. How's it going? Toast! And yeah, we just got chatting. And then I had a book in my hands and she said, oh, what's that? I said, I was Grace Jones' biography, it's boss. And we started talking about the 70s, her taking acid. And she said, oh, God, well, if you're taking acid today, then we'll all be up at the Whistler's Green, so yeah, come find us. And I was like, well, I don't plan on taking acid, but I'll find you. So I ended up brushing my teeth, getting ready, and I saw them walking across the campsite. And I thought, oh God, I'm just going to run over and join them. So these two mums, both lived in this to the 70s, so the same age as my dad. And they said that they were going to the Suns, and we carried on walking, and yeah, they said, oh, by the way, Elsie, you've never
taken it before, it's good that you, because we're good people, just need to have good people around you. It's like, fine, Grace. So, this is an interesting point, because I was chatting to them, and I found out that, well, they told me that their, one of their son's girlfriend spoke French, because she studies it at university. So I was like, oh, Grace. So as I was starting to kind of ship on acid, I was just like, oh, whatever, yeah. So I just started speaking to her in French, and then spoke to somebody else in French, spoke to everybody in French, and then spoke in English, and then spoke in whatever language. And I was just like, you know what, I don't care, I'm just doing my thing. I'm just riding this fucking trip. If this is how I want to communicate a tongue that most people don't understand, then that's fine, whatever. They'll understand me through my intonation. So as I was walking with these people, to go back to the Scouse girl, I saw myself switching from London English to Scouse, and that was like the first little moment of that day where I saw myself just doing that, kind of using that as my primary tongue, because again, it just makes no sense to be speaking to a girl like that with such a thick Scouse accent in this London thing. So I saw what I let her, said, see you later. So I ran away, then we went off with them, then we went over here, went over there. Anyway, after the amazing day, evening, turn night, saw Salt and Pepper, tripping on acid, I mean, the best. yo, baby, pop, yeah, you, come on, give me a kiss, better make it fast. Hilarious, just barging through everybody, like somebody came up to me, was like, I love your energy. So, it was around, again, 1 o'clock. I'd lost everybody. It was the end, it was like the ending ceremony. But I'd not really lost them. I just kind of let everybody drift off and do their own thing. And I was walking about here, walking up there. Then I went to the Whistler's Green, which is this kind of boss hippie place. And on the sides of it, there is the psychedelic Psy Forest. Yeah, the psychedelic forest. So yeah, obviously being on LSD is the place to go and witness that. So there's this dancing fountain, and it was basically hooked up to the music that was playing, so it would basically splash water and move up, and the lights would change according to the beat, which is pretty amazing. And I kind of stayed there for a few minutes, maybe about 15 minutes, and I just kind of squirreled through. And I found Whistler's Green, and obviously the place I was looking for, because that's where there's a big campfire that everybody goes to at the end of the festival. So I ended up there, and I sat down, and then there she was. She's like, hey, Kath, how are you? I got over here now. So she was just telling me that she got a coat signed by Lauryn Hill. Like, every single person that would walk past, or anyone would even look at her. Hey, listen, I'm shipping balls and acid, and Lauryn Hill signed me fucking coat. I can't believe it. Hey, guess what? I'm shipping balls and acid, and Lauryn Hill signed me coat. Can't believe it. So it was hilarious. Anyway, she obviously told me that's the first thing that she said to me. And there was a guy sat next to me, and he was from Luton. And he was telling me, yeah, basically he's a roadman. Roadman, what's that? Scally, don't know, chav. You know, it's the non-PC words you use. But that kind of image, you know, guy from the streets hustling, you know, police know who he is. But actually, he was a little charmer. He was a little diamond. And he was just like, telling me this and telling me that, and I thought, God, I think I'll have to come out now. So I did. I came out as London, and then what he said to me was like, I was after about a sentence of me talking like this, and it felt so strange after speaking in Scouse,
to be speaking like this, and said, "Hey, don't talk like that, lads. You sound gay." So I was howling with laughter. And then there was another scouser from Toxteth, and he was just across the way, and he's like, "Hey, you're all right, lads." And I was just like, you know what? Here they all are. Like, I didn't have the heart to tell him or this other girl that that was how I was talking when I was in London. But this guy from Luton, he grew up around Jamaicans, he's Italian and Irish, so he kind of mixes in out of that, and then he goes into, like, starts emceeing in the middle of a conversation, you know, fucking character. Everybody was saying, him and his friend as well, everyone was saying, why would we want to talk like that? Why would you want to talk like that? Especially as a scouser who overheard the conversation, and he was like, why do you want to talk like that? You know, it sounds like you're going backwards when scouse is a language that you use and you're going forwards. So I just said to them, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go back down to London. I'm going to sound scouse. And that's what I did. And I'm still doing it. And I got back from the festival on Monday, last Monday. And I was asked by a friend of mine, an activist, to, you know, give a short talk at an activism event that they're doing at Rich Mix in Dalston. And that was like the inauguration of my Scouse accent. So I took the mic and I explained the point that I talked about in the last podcast episode about Pushkin and how, you know, it's a travesty that his African descent was not discussed as part of my degree, that you can leave that degree and not know about anything about his African descent. And my last words, and you know, that end of what I had to say was, and why the fuck I didn't know that, and why the fuck I had to go on some Russian websites and obviously read it, because I couldn't find it anywhere else. Why the fuck did I have to do that? And there was somebody who I had a conversation with like a month and a half before. You know, this is pre-Scouse. And he was just looking at me like, you didn't sound like... And I was like, wow, I'm going to have to prepare myself for a lot of this because, yeah. This is going to be a mindfuck for a lot of people. The fact that they met me in one point and then I come out in some completely other thing that, you know, Scouse and RP does not go, or shouldn't do anyway, in their minds. And I know as well, just before I left on the last day of the festival, I had the same thing happen. I met them in London and I turned in Scouse, and then he was like on some come down and he was losing his mind. So I think really it's just like slamming a wall down to that old way of being and just embracing this new way of being. Because I'm on the last night of the festival, I was saying to everyone, yeah, it's been 5 years of doing this accent and I've mastered it. You know, it's undetectable. Speak it to a native degree. No one would ever be able to tell that I'm not from London. That's not my natural way of speaking. And it saved me. I got what I want out of it now. I can move on. Now I can represent the streets of Liverpool. And that's much more authentic. And that's just where I get the self-respect for myself and respect from people back home. So another thing as well is the video that I did and the BBC commissioned it. So that was with Auntie Julie. Obviously, I spoke in that in my London accent. And I just have in my head, like, do I want to talk in an African accent? Do I want to sound Ghanaian? Do I want to sound Kenyan? Do I want to sound Scouse? Do I want to sound RP? And I just thought, okay, well, this is what works now. So I did it in RP. So that's how people know me. And I have had, you know, when people are recognising me, like, every time I go out, basically, people coming up to me recognising me from that video.
And people are saying, but I don't remember you having a Scouse accent. No, I didn't have a Scouse accent, actually. No, that's a recent thing. So it's exciting to see the point when it's no longer a recent thing, and it's been like a year, it's been 2 years of me talking Scouse. And another anecdote. Oh my God, I'm just filled with anecdotes. At a different festival, I was sat with these girls, and there was one girl over there who was from Liverpool, and we both met each other when we were doing our London accents. And then she ended up calling it a traveller's accent, basically an accent that you speak in, so people can understand what you're saying, because not everybody understands Scouse. And there was this lad from London, and he's like one of my least favourite kind of London people, kind of, I don't know, probably fancies himself a socialist, but middle class, and I don't know, just arrogant and boring and unfriendly and... Anyway, we all deserve to have good lives too, no matter our dispositions. He's maybe in the diplomat. He came over and he sat down and he's talking to these girls, and they are kind of like these posh girls. And I just heard him talking about some football thing, I don't know. And then the girl said, oh, well, just because we don't know about football. And then I was like, hey, are you being sexist? This is Liverpool, lad. Take that and your nasty self out of here. Go on, out. So I turned back to me mirror, applying my lipstick. And then the girls just went quiet, and then he was went quiet, and then they just carried on like talking, like, oh. But I was just like, nah, this is it. This is Scouse power. This is warrior power. And I think he mentioned that he was Moroccan and his mother speaks French. And then somebody mentioned, oh yeah, Gav speaks French. So he said, oh, do you speak French? Et en fait, j'ai commencé à lui parler en français avec un accent parisien. And you know what? That was so slick. The transition from Scouse to Parisian French. And watching that lad's face, you know what? You know what? That's the thing. You just gotta fuck him up like that. Just gotta fuck him up. And that is the power of speaking as dialect. That is non-standard. But then being able to show all the learning that you've done, all of the whatever the... all the stuff that you imagine only establishment type people would know. If you've got that and you're representing the streets of Rough Ferry, mate, you're onto something. So here we are. This is me making my small rebellions every single day. But the things that leave me with a sense of empowerment and, you know, by... because I think in many ways we try and to make ourselves get further in this racist, homophobic, classist, everything elseist society. You know, it's called respectability politics in America, which is when black people put on the suits and try to sound eloquent so they distance themselves from all the ghetto people. It's the same thing that we have in England. And if you can get all the positive attributes of, you know, Babylon, of middle classness, of everything, but then you can actually keep onto your roots and show people from where you're from that you haven't forgotten where you're from. Because people did mention on that video, hey, there's no way he's from Birkenhead with that accent. If you can actually show that you're still from that place, you're still representing that place, but just excuse my burp, but you are taking advantages of those things putting forward. I think that's just the miracle answer to life. Anyway, that's how I'm feeling. I'll let you know in a few weeks. But yeah, we've got half a minute to go now. So what should I do? Get on the dance floor, baby. More bass to the ass. More bass to the ass. More bass to the ass. More bass
to the house. There we go. That's episode number 2. Uploading it very shortly.